get your Bibles out. Romans chapter number 6. Aren't you thankful for the love of God? Man, so sweet and kind. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Good to be in church together. Romans chapter number 6. Do you have a favorite portion of Scripture? Maybe a certain story or a character? Romans chapter number 6 is one that comes up for me regularly. Romans chapter number 6, we're going to read the first four verses, draw one application from that, and then move on to our text in Colossians chapter number 3. Romans chapter 6, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Well, that's a good question. Now that I've been saved by the grace of God, can I do whatever I want? Well, you can. You have liberty. But is it beneficial? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us of this passage. Thank you of reminding us of where you found us and lost in our sin. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. God, it is a blessing that you have changed our life. You have given us a new life. That old life is gone. God, thank you for that resurrected life that we get to live here today. Lord, I pray that you'd challenge us and encourage us. Lord, help us to set our affections on things above. Lord, we need you here now. Lord, I need you. Lord, I pray that you meet with us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love this passage. Say, why do you love it? Because I got saved when I was young. I got saved when I was 10. So I didn't really fully comprehend all of the things that the Lord saved me from. But when I start reading these passages, man, I got a good deal in getting salvation. He changed my life. He ought to change your life. That old life before Christ is gone. It says it's dead. It's been buried. It's gone. Unfortunately, there are times when we go dig it back up. And it's even worse than when we buried it. Sometimes we'll be driving home, and again, we live out in the country out this way. We'll be driving home a cool fall night or something like that, and got the windows down and AC off and just fresh air coming in, and all of a sudden you get a smell of something. It's like, oh, that's the smell of death. If you've ever smelled death before, it's awful. It's awful. You walk by a few months ago, a deer must have got hit and by across the street from our house, and there was a little creek, and it, I don't know, in its mind, it said, I got to get to water, and it just laid down in the water, and that carcass was decomposing. I went outside to get the mail. I was like, whoa, it stunk. So should our old life. It ought to be that repulsive to us that when we see that those old ways coming, oh man, that stinks. But look at how good the newness of life is. That's what we should be. We're not like that anymore. We've been resurrected. We live a resurrected life. We've been raised up like Christ. From that, we don't have to walk like that. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Colossians chapter number 3. I want to remind you today that you have a new life in Christ. Those without Christ have no hope. They're hopeless. But in Christ we have a new life. Which brings us to Colossians chapter number 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now hold on. We just showed that we are in Romans chapter number 6. Hey, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to forgive you of your sin. You know what? I talked to a young lady yesterday. She was 25 years old, and in honesty and humility and just matter-of-factness, I asked her if she ever sinned before, and she said no. I said, do you know what sin is? No. I said, have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? She says, I've heard that phrase, but I don't know one. There's some people that don't even know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, well, where was that, Pastor? Was that in Africa? Was that when you went to the deep bush of Africa? That was in Hamlin. There's some people that don't know. Hey, if you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, what does that mean? You're a sinner. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died 2,000 years ago, shed his perfect, innocent blood. The Bible says that he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We exchange our sin and get his perfect righteousness. And that's a new life. If ye then be risen with Christ. Say, well, my feet are still touching the ground. I'm not risen with Christ. No, no. That old life is gone, and you're walking in a new life now. You have been risen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It gives us the position of where to be seeking. Years ago, we were doing some stuff for medical insurance, and I like to do things online. I'm that generation. If there's an application that I can fill out online, I like that. I like to click the boxes. Number one, it's easier for me. Number two, at the bottom, it says submit, and I know it went to where it's supposed to go, in theory. Don't have to try and talk to somebody. I don't like filling out all the paperwork. I always feel like I don't get the paperwork right, and my handwriting's bad, and I'm afraid I'm going to mess stuff up. But even a worse step is when, if you're signing up for maybe insurance or something, they say, you're going to have to come down and fill this out down here. We need to talk with you. Oh, and there I am on St. Paul Boulevard, walking into a building, and you're sitting in a room, and it's hot, and there's people, and their kids are crying, and people are screaming at the lady behind the bulletproof glass, and I'm like, what's going on here? Yeah, you've been there. Welcome to Rochester. And as we go through those, I'm seeking after something. So because I'm seeking after this, I'm going to deal with this difficulty. What are you seeking today? The final thought here, and we will refer back to it, is in verse 4. Christ, who is our life. Are you seeking that? Let's go back down memory lane just for a moment. When we were lost, what is it that we were seeking after? What is it that you wanted out of life? Go back 16, 18, 21, 25 years old without Jesus Christ in your life. No direction, no purpose according to the scriptures. Just what do I get out of this? Well, I'll tell you this. You were probably seeking prosperity. No one in school said, you know what, I'm going to be a dropout. I want to live under a bridge. I want to do all of that. I want to destroy things. No, you probably had high aspirations. I want to be a head of a company, or I got an idea. As a lost person, we sought prosperity. Maybe as a lost person, you seek or sought possessions. Man, if I could just get that. If I just had the home with the white picket fence, the two-car garage, the pool in the back, then I'd be somebody. Maybe you grew up in the city and your neighbor's house was an arm's length away. And you said, you know what, when I grow up, I'm going to get out of this place. I'm going to move out. And maybe your whole the things that you were seeking were possessions. Have you ever sought for a possession to only receive it and to be disappointed? Maybe you were seeking not just prosperity, but a position. I want to be in charge. Years ago, I was talking to a businessman, and he gave me advice. He said, know what you want to do? You want to be the bank. I said, I don't want to be a bank. Banks get robbed. And he says, no, you want to be a bank. You want to have money that you lend out and make interest on. He goes, that's the position. That's the goal. And as a lost person, a lot of people chase after that position. As a lost person, maybe you chased after pleasures. What is it that you were seeking? Maybe it was a drug. I just want to feel. I just want to experience. Maybe it was sinful and lustful. I just want to see, or I just want to, again, experience. And that's all you cared about. You didn't care about sports, you didn't care about money, but you just cared about physical pleasures. Waste a lot of time seeking those things. The Lord encourages us, if ye then be risen with Christ. Oh, he doesn't say to stop seeking. He actually encourages us. Say, no, I found the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but he has brought me new life. I've been resurrected. I've found Jesus. Then why does he say, if ye have been risen with Christ, seek? Because just finding Christ isn't the end all be all. I mean, it certainly is. It gives us salvation. But our life doesn't stop there. We continue to seek those things which are above. Can we review our list? Prosperity, not those things which are above. Possessions, not those things which are above. Position, not those things which are above. Physical and earthly pleasures, those are not the things that are above. No, Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be chasing after some other things. And the other day, our dog, he's broken is what he is. He's not just sick, he's broken. And he's got all these different medicines, and he's on antibiotics, and he's also on steroids. Well, about to give you too much information, but that has a negative effect upon his bladder, all right? So he normally just goes out a couple times a day, but he'll stand at the door and whimper, and man, it's like he's never seen the front yard before. And he goes, and he goes, and he goes, and then he comes in and drinks a lot of water. I think the steroids, I don't know what it does, makes him thirsty. I don't know. Well, he got two more pills, and then we're done with it, and we're happy. But he was there, standing, whining by the door, and I'm thankful he could make a lake in our wood stove room. So he's whining by the door, so I let him out. He cared nothing about using the front yard. He saw a cat at the neighbor's house. And that boy went tearing off. Like, he's 9 years old, but he runs about 6,000 miles an hour. And I'm shouting to him, Trapper, stop! No! He's got ears, but his eyes and his nose said, kitty cat. Is that our approach to heavenly things? Let me add it. I want to be all about, I am seeking the things of God. Open the door. Let me go. And when the world calls, hey, come play with the pleasures over here. Hey, come after this possession. Whoom! the things that are above, heavenly things. Matthew chapter number 6. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Oh, that's, you know, that's a great verse for Sunday school. That's a great verse for the kids. But I'm older now. I'm a little more distinguished. I got that. No. Christ encourages us. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Hey, if you're a believer here, this is instruction for you. Whether you're a young teenager sitting in the front row here, or you're excited about the new Sunday school class, Grim Hartman, you're still to be seeking those things which are above. So what's the best way to seek those things? I'll tell you the best way, Matthew chapter 7, through prayer, Matthew chapter 7. We have 3 points this morning. We are almost done with number one. Just want to let you know where we're at. What exit we're on. How's that? Does that help you? I really encourage you, if you don't normally come Sunday night, youth choir singing tonight, they'll be practiced. But really want to help you with that technology and social media stuff. All right, make sure you come back tonight. Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. What is the context here? Prayer. What is one of the best ways that if we're to seek those things which are above, how can I do that? Through prayer. That is the best way. Prayer is the perfect way to seek the Lord. I'll tell you, you're going to get yourself in trouble if you stop praying. Say, why is that? Because you'll stop seeking. Because that's what prayer is. That is me bringing my burdens, my difficulties, my lack of understanding, my lack of wisdom, my lack of knowledge, my lack of, my satisfaction with sin in my heart. When I'm praying, I'm seeking direction from God Himself. Hey, if we're going to seek those things which are above, we better do it from our knees. This is how we're told to pray. Like we're a 9-year-old dog that just saw a cat walk by. I'm after it. What would your prayer life and seeking God be described as? Is it apathetic? Is it absent? Why pray? God doesn't even hear. Not true. Colossians chapter number 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, number 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It gives us the position where it is that we're looking towards. Toward heavenly things. If you're trying to get the best that this world has to offer, you're going to waste. There's so much more to this life than what you see. Number 2, in verse 2. Number 1, we're to seek those things. Number 2, we're to set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Number 1, we're seeking those things. That is done through prayer. Number 2, by setting our affections on that, that is action. Again, as we looked at what it means to seek as a lost person, chasing after prosperity, possessions, position, and pleasures. But here, as a lost person, what are we setting our affections on? I'm telling you, if that's what you're seeking, prosperity, possessions, position, and pleasures, I'll tell you what you will find: a false sense of accomplishment, a false sense of purpose, a false sense of security. Could you imagine everything your whole life you've worked for could be taken away in a moment? Do you understand that the things that we invest in and eternal things will never be taken away? It will give you, listen, I want our young people, I'm thankful our teenagers are in service so regularly. I love them. Yesterday, literally, a cat fell out of the sky. It was raining so hard. It was raining very hard. Okay, cats didn't really fall, but it was really raining. Have you ever heard that phrase, raining cats and dogs? Okay, good. It was pouring. And we had 30 people out for visitation. Am I making that up? Okay. There was a lot of people. 75% were under the age of 18. Or how about under the age of 20? Man, I love our young people. They are the feet to a lot of our faith. But listen to me, young person. You go chasing after this prosperity of the world and the possessions of the world and the position of the world and the pleasures of the world, you will find that you have no security. And listen, you'll have a false sense of fulfillment. So what am I supposed to do? I'm to set my affection on things above. Affection is an indication of a love. If my daughter comes walking in and I'm affectionate, that means I'm going to hug her and kiss her. I love her. We show affection towards things that we care about and love. Look at Matthew chapter number 6. So where's your affection? We are all in possession of affection. Say, what does that mean? We all have emotion and love and care within us. The question is, where are we going to place it? Where are you going to set that? Ever lose something? The older I get, I'm losing more and more. Say, what is that? What does that mean? Well, I keep the things that are kind of important in either in the vehicle, so I don't lose them. If you ever need to borrow a truck, just come to my house. Say, what? The keys are in it. Say, why do you do that? So I don't lose them. Wallet, phone, keys. That's my Bible's very close by. Where are you setting your affection? Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, look at now, there will your heart be also. That's your affection. Bible warns us, he says, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Say, why? Because you only have so much affection. Are you going to invest it in the world? Are you going to invest it in prosperity, possessions, position, and pleasures? Or in heavenly things? You can't place it in both. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, I recommend setting it on heavenly things. Why is that? Because it'll never go away. There won't be a false sense of security. It won't be false fulfillment. You give your life to the Lord, it's the greatest thing you can do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 29. Pastor Seatman was teaching out of these, very close to these verses. I thought he was going to read them. It's going to have to create a scene in Sunday school class. So. 1 Chronicles 29, I want you to look at this. 1 Chronicles 29, what do you do for the things you love? Don't, Did I tell you 1 Chronicles or Corinthians? I want 1 Chronicles. We're now in 1 Chronicles 29. I could tell there was a great wave of disturbance from north to south. If I ever do that, just smile and nod. Just like go with it. Like, he's fine. Thank you. What do you do with the things that you love? What do you do for the things that you love? Think about it. Think about what you love. Family, friends, what do you do for them? Say, I love my house, then you're going to spend money on your house. I love my car, then you're going to invest in your car. I love my dog, then you're broken, but that's fine. What are you going to do? You're going to go to the vet and you're going to spend $2 a pill that they have to take every single day, along with the ridiculousness. Why? Because that's where your affection is. What happens if your affection is towards God? What happens if you set your affection on things above? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. He's talking about the temple. Now I have prepared with all my might, this is David speaking, for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. This week, Seth is going to help me fix my porch. Brother Grandpa Hayden, it kind of wobbles a little bit. Every time he walks up, I think, this is it. He's going down. So we're fixing that this week. I'm going to go to Lowe's, and I'm going to say, okay, where's the gold and the silver and precious stones? Where's the onyx section? We're going to make the front steps out of marble. No, that's not our house. Say, why not? Because we have a budget. David said, here's what I have in my possession. Verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. David said, I took of my personal possessions, my own things, and invested them into the house of my God. Why? Because he loved God. So where's your affection? Is it set on heavenly things? Matthew chapter 22. No, we'll let everybody up. David the king, of his own personal stash. We all have to make a decision. I'm going to serve God with my life. We were told what not to love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God warns us. He says, your affection ought not to be on these things down here. Why? Because in a second they're gone. He says, set your affection on things above. Love things that are eternal. Verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Matthew 22, 36. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus, what should I set my affection on? God and the souls of men. Yeah, but what about the stuff? In his absence of speaking of those things, I think it answers our question. So what do you love? What have you chosen to set your affection upon? Are you loving God? Are you serving others? I believe that is a perfect outlet for our affection. Lastly, Colossians chapter number 3. Number one, if we be risen with Christ, number one, we seek those things which are above. Number two, we set our affection on things above. Number three, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 3. When Christ, who is our life. Lastly, as Christ, our life, we ought to be seeking Him. We ought to be setting our affection upon Him. And number three, He is our supply. In 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John chapter number 5, say, what does He supply me with? He is our life. 1 John 5, 12. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, what? Eternal life. And this life is in His Son. John 14, 6 tells us He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is our life. Hey, in ourselves, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. If He's my life, number one, He's my eternal life. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Talking to that young lady yesterday. I asked her this question. Brother Van, listen to this. I asked her this question. I said, do you know that God loves you? Joe, what'd she say? She said, no. I said, can I read you a verse? In the John and Romans that we assembled here. I got to open up to whatever page that was. And there it was underlined, John chapter 3 and verse 16. We'll read verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Could you imagine not knowing this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is our life. He's our eternal life. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not, the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, I'll make do. Do you understand the consequences of not having Jesus Christ as your life is very severe. It's not like a slightly lesser. It's either eternal life or the wrath of God forever. Hey, Jesus Christ is your eternal life. But He's also my daily life. Hey, what's your life all about? When we drive out to my family's house, we have family in Buffalo. And the closer we get to Buffalo, the more Bill stuff shows up. People paint their houses flags. They paint their vehicles. They Bill's Mafia painted down the side of their vehicles. They have in front of their house, they're believers. Their whole life is about a sports team. That quite honestly, and we look at that and go, foolish. Okay, how about what is your life all about? What is your life all about? And we look at that and go, I can't believe someone will waste all their efforts on a sports team. What do you waste all your efforts on? Where have you, what are you seeking? Where have you set your affection? Is your life, go back to John, Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is our life, is that what your life is all about? My life is all about Jesus Christ. Can you say that honestly today? It is no longer your life. You live for Christ. You seek Him. You set your affection upon Him and say, what does He do for me? He's your supply. He's what we should be all about. Listen, I enjoy sports, but I love Jesus. Personally, I want you to evaluate in your heart and in your life, what are you all about? And can you say, Christ, who is my life here today? Say, what does that look like? Are you seeking? Say, well, I've found. Continue seeking. Have you set your affection? When Christ is our life, we are to seek and to set our focus on eternal and spiritual things. Have you made Christ your life? One of the great things about being an American is the access and the ability to get whatever we want whenever we want it. I'm thirsty. Well, go to the store and you can buy it. We wake up early, we go to bed late, it's quick, it's... One of the greatest detriments to our society is how readily available anything we want is. Because our life gets so quickly and easily consumed about what is it that I want. Can I ask you here today, is Christ your life? Let's all stand. I've heard worse. That's a nice alarm. Like, that's what you want to wake up to. That's nice. Yeah. So can I ask you here today, is Jesus Christ your eternal life? So how do I get that? By repenting of your sin and asking Jesus to forgive you of it. To telling Him, God, I cannot get to heaven without You. And I believe that You are the only way. Please forgive me. And believing that in, with all your heart. Number two, is Jesus Christ what your life here is all about? So how would I know? What are you seeking? And where have you set your affection? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I think there's some things I need to work on in my heart. Anybody like that here today? Okay. Well, then we'll have an invitation. Anybody here want to get saved? Anyone not know? Anybody want to have someone show them from the scriptures what it means to be a child of God? Anybody like that here today? You want to raise your hand and say, can someone show me what it means to be a Christian? Say, it's going to take some boldness to raise my hand right now. I understand, but you understand, seeking eternal things is far greater. There would be much rejoicing, I'm telling you. Anybody like that here today? So usually you have our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's just be honest. Hey, I want to get saved today. Anybody? I'm going to scan the crowd. Anybody here? Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart saying, hey, you're not promised tomorrow. There was a kid on my road that died yesterday. Car accident. When he got up in the morning, I don't think he said, well, today's the end. T-boned right at 272 and Ridge Road. Anybody? Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart saying, hey, this is for you. All right. In a moment, the music's going to play. If the Lord spoke to your heart about, hey, let's check what you're seeking. Let's check where you've set your affection. Is Christ your life? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. I pray that if someone here today isn't saved and was just nervous or not sure, God, you'd give someone an opportunity to share with them personally. Lord, I pray for those that are maybe touched by the message here today. Lord, I pray you bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Is Jesus Christ your life? Is Jesus your life? Christ, who is our life? Hey, I'm tired of living for myself. Let me tell you how that ends. Unfulfilled. Without purpose. Hey, what's your life all about?